The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod cares deeply for those who protect our nation. Are you or a loved one currently serving? Ministry to the Armed Forces would like to help. We provide devotional literature to encourage faith. Send your mailing address to lcmschaps@lcms.org or call us at 314-996-1337. Those in uniform are comforted with Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and He helps me.
It is difficult for many to believe that the U.S. military has actually gone woke, but it has. And that march through that institution has hastened in the last 2 years during the Biden administration. Then recently, President Biden signed an executive order on diversity, equity, and inclusion for all of the federal government. How will it affect the U.S. military and perhaps even make permanent the DEI bureaucracy there? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about President Biden's executive order on diversity, equity, and inclusion and the U.S. military, Elaine Donnelly, founder and president of the Center for Military Readiness. She formerly served on the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services and on the Presidential Commission on the Assignment of Women in the Armed Forces. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Biden's Racial Equity Orders Threatens the Meritocracy That Makes Our Military Great. Elaine, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Tell us about President Biden's February Executive Order 14091.
Well, this executive order did not get a lot of notice, and that's kind of surprising because it's really the most radical of many executive orders that the president has signed, and it's layered on top of three previous executive orders having to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, as you know, there's been a lot of controversy in the armed forces about wokeism in the military. This executive order will go a long way to make wokeism in the military permanent. And that, of course, are a set of policies that the Pentagon keeps denying. I define wokeism, it's really quite simple. It means progressivism taken to extremes, imposed with coercion, even if it hurts the institution. So whether you're talking about climate change in the military or double standards that lower standards, any issue you can name, critical race theory, these are policies that take extremism even further than before, progressivism to a new extreme, and they're imposed with coercion. There's no dissent. And it's done even if it hurts the institution. So this executive order is really big because it affects every department of the United States government. We're talking about not just the Department of Defense, but state and education and veterans and energy and health and human services, transportation, you name it. And then agencies like the Social Security Administration, the Small Business Administration, International Development Administrations, all of these agencies will also be subject to this order. Now, what is going to happen is, and in fact it probably already has, the setting up of equity action teams. The equity action teams from each one of these government entities are going to report to none other than the Director of Domestic Policy under Joe Biden. That would be Susan Rice. So Susan Rice, I call her the doyenne of diversity, she's going to be the one that they have to report to. Now, how does this work? I've been a part of a couple of advisory committees, as you mentioned in your introduction. When you have action teams and they have to make reports, it's like constant nagging. It keeps pushing the agenda further and further and further until the point where there's just, in this administration, there is no limit. In fact, the whole executive order is quite limitless, and it may even affect policies that may involve people who are not citizens, illegal aliens, in other words. That is a possibility. We don't really know just how far it's going to go. But what will happen is people will have to comply with what these agency equity teams say. And if they don't, they will be denied promotion or they might be pushed out of the military. There's lots of ways to use enforcement of this kind in order to make a very radical agenda permanent. And I think that's what this administration wants to do.
How does this order strengthen the federal government's diversity, equity, and inclusion bureaucracy?
Well, the bureaucracy involves not just these agency equity teams that I mentioned, but there's also a group of people, a small army, of what are called chief diversity officers, or CDOs. The CDOs, and they already exist at the military service academies and various branches of the military, they are empowered to review all promotions to ensure that all candidates for promotion will support and enforce woke mandates. So it expands that bureaucracy. And I think the administration is trying to make this bureaucracy permanent and politically untouchable because they are anticipating an adverse ruling in a Supreme Court case and two major cases that are going to be decided in June. And I'll explain how that works.
What are those cases and why do they have a bearing on the timing of this executive order?
Well, the two cases, and you're going to be hearing more about them as the time for a ruling gets closer. Harvard and the University of North Carolina were sued by a group of students. Students for Fair Admissions have filed lawsuits against Harvard University and the University of North Carolina. And they are claiming that in their admissions policies at these two universities, one public, one private, there was discrimination going on against Asian applicants and also white applicants. So they went to court, and it's gone through the court system. It's before the Supreme Court now. And last October, there were oral arguments in this case. Now, this is higher education, two civilian schools. The Department of Defense is not a party to the litigation, but guess what? The oral arguments that were made, the Solicitor General of the United States, she works for the Department of Justice, representing the Department of Defense, she showed up to argue that, yes, at the service academies, they do discriminate on the basis of race. And secondly, she said that that discrimination should continue because it is necessary for national security. Now, we don't know what the court will decide. Nobody can accurately predict. They could say nothing about the military, they could make a carve-out for the military, or they could issue a very specific ruling striking down all preferences and saying that they do apply to the military as well. Whatever they decide, the Department of Defense is going to look at the opinions and try to find loopholes. They're going to try to find some ambiguities that say, well, we don't do that the way Harvard did, so we can continue on discriminating. Now, here's the key. If the Department of Defense wants to keep on discriminating, and we know that they do, wouldn't they have to stop after a Supreme Court ruling? You would think so, but guess what? As John Dawkins wrote in a Wall Street Journal article recently, he said that, remember Brown versus Board of Education, the landmark ruling against discrimination in schools in the United States? It was 1954. There were some school districts that kept on discriminating, even after that opinion came down. So in this case, I think what the Department of Defense is doing, and actually it's the entire administration and all branches of government, what they're trying to do is say, no matter what the Supreme Court rules, even if they strike down discrimination in these two landmark cases, even if they do that, we're going to keep on discriminating because we've got this bureaucracy in place, we've got these equity action teams, we've got Susan Rice in charge, and if anybody tries to abolish them or get rid of them, well, that's going to be politically difficult. Because what do you mean? You're against diversity? Well, of course not. Nobody is against diversity that I know. What they are opposed to is the kind of discrimination that is demoralizing, that affects meritocracy, that causes standards to be adjusted to make sure that the quotas are met, the diversity, equity, inclusion quotas. They always say metrics, but it really means quotas. In order to do that, you have to adjust your standards, and that hurts meritocracy in the military. So there's the problem. This is an executive order that's trying to lock things in, no matter what the Supreme Court does. And keep in mind that, remember, with the Dobbs decision having to do with abortion, the pro-abortion forces were ready to spring, even before that ruling officially came out. In this case, I think they are right out there in plain sight. Do things that allow them to continue discriminating on the basis of race. Why would they want to do that? For the reasons of diversity, equity, which is not the same as equality, and inclusion. In other words, quotas. Diversity metrics means quotas, And it's all about percentages and demographics. It has nothing to do with individual merit. If you have a meritocracy and you get inequitable results in promotions or who gets promoted or who gets into certain positions, if those results are inequitable, and in most cases they are not, but if they are, well, then that's where the so-called equity mandate comes in. Equity is not the same as equal treatment or equality. So this is really a radical concept that the administration is trying to lock in and make permanent, no matter what the Supreme Court does.
Elaine, what did we learn from U.S. Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar last year about the U.S. military's efforts at racial diversity?
Well, we learned several things. That the military service academies, West Point, Naval Academy, and the Air Force Academy, they do discriminate on the basis of race in their admissions to have what they call a balanced student body, racially balanced. In some previous cases, that was denied. But in court, open court, it was admitted. Secondly, we learned that she had no justification for this, other than this vague phrase, diversity is a strategic imperative. This is a phrase that is used constantly by Pentagon leaders. It's like a mantra. They keep saying it as if saying it often makes it true, and it doesn't. Because what matters in the military and other institutions as well, but especially in the military, is non-discrimination, recognition of individual merit. If you take that away and you say that your skin color is what matters or your sex matters more than how you perform, especially in the military, when you substitute other values, you devalue meritocracy. And her argument, in essence, was saying that the Department of Defense wants to continue the discrimination. And she asked the Supreme Court, she sort of implied it, she didn't specifically ask for a carve-out for the military. But the thing is, if the court stays silent, and they could stay silent on the military, military is not a party to the case, the bureaucrats over there at the Pentagon, the diversity-crats, if you will, they will find ways, they'll look for loopholes, and they'll try to find some way to continue the discrimination. Now, the executive order that just came out, it's a rather lengthy one, it talks about increasing the, I'll say what the title is, further advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities throughout the federal government. Now, I already explained, this is the entire government. Underserved communities, it's a paragraph-long list, and it includes every kind of minority group you can think of, Black, Latino, Indigenous, Native Americans, LGBTQ+, rural, everything. There's only one large group that is specifically excluded from the favored list of underserved communities, and that would be healthy white males who are young or middle-aged, financially secure, English proficient, and Christian. Now, that's a pretty large group. They are mentioned nowhere in this executive order. Now, there's a couple of wiggle words in there. It says, everyone should be treated in a fair, just, and impartial way. And it says, all individuals, this should apply to all individuals, especially those in underserved communities. Well, you might think, well, all individuals, I guess that includes everybody, doesn't it? Well, not really. The thought is that those wiggle words are probably put in there so that the entire document isn't thrown out as completely unconstitutional. But those few little wiggle words are totally overwhelmed by the entire document in itself. It's from the title to the glossary. It's all about groups. It's all about equity, inclusion, diversity, not meritocracy, not individual rights, and not the best interests of the military either. It also says everything in the executive order will comply with applicable law. There is a phrase to that effect, comply with applicable law. Well, guess what? There's a catch, because there is no such law. There is no law that upholds meritocracy over this kind of diversity, equity, inclusion bureaucracy that has risen up in I would say, since 2011. So anybody who goes into court claiming discrimination, they're not going to have much to back them up. And the government will claim that the absence of any law forbidding such practices authorizes them to keep on discriminating. So you see, this is why Congress needs to act here, because you have the executive branch, they're doing their part for all the diversity mandates. The court may or may not weigh in, we don't know yet. But it's Congress that has to make policy for the military. That's their job, under the U.S. Constitution, they have the duty, the power to make policy for the armed forces. And as my op-ed suggests, it's time for Congress to do a couple of things. A two-pronged attack is needed here. They need to defund the diversity industrial complex. That means all of these bureaucracies and offices and committees and task forces, all these action teams, they all need to be defunded to the extent that Congress is able to do that. Secondly, Congress needs to find a way to uphold meritocracy in the military. That is something they will have to figure out. But something needs to be done, because if that bureaucracy continues, the bureaucracy will make sure that the Susan Rice, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, the attitude that if you are not a minority, then your rights don't matter because it's all about minority rights. In this case, it's very clear if you read this executive order, it's all about group rights. It is not about individual rights, much less the best needs of the military. So basically, that's what's going on.
Finally, with about a minute or so here, do we know how much pressure military chaplains are facing with these diversity, equity, inclusion measures?
Oh, yes. And I'm sure it's going to get worse, and it's probably bad right now, but there's no way to know for sure, especially on the transgender issue. This executive order will include the transgender issues, okay? That's all part of the woke agenda. Chaplains who disagree really have no option, at least not publicly, to say that they disagree. Other than leaving the military, there's nothing much else they can do. And medical professionals, same thing. If you have some hesitation for reasons of medical ethics or religious conviction, you don't want to participate in transgender treatments, even surgeries on minor children, if you don't want to go there, there is no option for you. Women in the military are put at greater risk because of the transgender policy that we analyzed that's also on our webpage. The transgender policy says that once a person changes their gender identity marker, it's a bureaucratic marker, once that's done, then they should be treated as a woman in the women's private facilities, athletic teams, and all the rest. Now, I suspect there's already a lot of problems that are happening, but there's no way to know because the same directive says there shall be no public discussion of problems with the transgender policy because it's considered personal and private. Now, mind you, there's nothing personal or private, maybe personal, but certainly not private, about a person expecting others to treat them as a member of the opposite sex. It's a very public thing to do. And even at that, Pentagon tracks numbers and percentages on sexual assaults. They do it all the time. Why is it that we don't see any numbers, no records or reports on what's going on with the transgender policy in the military? That's the way it's set up. We analyzed that before, and it's right there in the directive that Secretary of Defense signed. So this is a very real woke agenda. The Pentagon keeps denying it, and that's really amusing if it weren't so serious, the way they keep denying what they are doing right out in the open. Yes, we learned in October that the service academies do discriminate, even though previously they had denied it. They want it to continue, and if it does, that will be a real blow to morale in the military, certainly the trust that is necessary for readiness to fight, but also unit cohesion, the trust, mutual trust for survival is what cohesion means in the military. So this is a very serious order, and they say that the 118th Congress, they've got several bills to defund the diversity bureaucracies. There's one to say that the transgender policy, it says that people should be treated and a gender marker should reflect actual biological sex, not what someone thinks they are or their gender identity, in other words. It should be connected to biological sex. There are several bills like this that have already been offered. And I think people need to tell their member of Congress, look, we don't want to have wokeism in the military. It's harmful to the men and women who serve and to the military as a fighting institution. It's the only one we've got. And we as civilians need to make sure that Congress does their duty of oversight and sound policy.
Elaine Donnelly is founder and president of the Center for Military Readiness. She formerly served on the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services and on the Presidential Commission on the Assignment of Women in the Armed Forces. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Biden's Racial Equity Order Threatens the Meritocracy That Makes Our Military Great. You'll find a link to this column and to the Center for Military Readiness at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Elaine, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back in hour two, we will be talking about Martin Luther's pastor and confessor, Johannes Bugenhagen. He is remembered on this day. Pastor Stephen Preuss will be our guest. Then Mark Hemingway of Real Clear Investigations joins us to talk about allegations that classical education is racist.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.